Chapter 1. John chapter 1. Oh, I better turn that on too. 2-year-old Sarah was having a difficult time during the holidays. Seemed like her and her 13-year-old sister were always getting into it. Mom was quite frustrated, and she did everything she knew to do. She used a little bit of exaggerated embezzlement to try to keep things under control. And she would tell Sarah, you know, Santa Claus doesn't bring presents to argumentative little girls. But nothing was working. It got pretty tense one day, and Mom grabbed the phone up, dialed a number, waited for a response, and said, Mrs. Claus? Yeah. I need to talk to Santa. I've got a little girl here who just isn't in the Christmas spirit. She said, just a minute. It was actually her sister that she had called, and she went to get her husband. Her husband came to the phone and asked what the trouble was, and she went on to explain, you know, little Sarah keeps arguing with her sister all the time, and it's getting quite miserable over here, and I thought maybe you could have a talk with her. Well, I'd be happy to. Sarah stood there with eyes wide open as Mom said, Santa wants to talk to you. With mouth wide open, the phone was put to her ear, and Santa explained to her in his deepened voice, ho, 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 little Sarah, I understand that there's been a little trouble over there at your house lately. Sarah just nodded her head. Well, you understand that I'm in the business of giving toys and treats and wonderful things to good little boys and girls. Sarah just shook her head again. Now, you understand that there won't be any presents on Christmas morning for little girls who have been arguing with their sister. Well, ho, 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 I hope things improve. So there'll be lots of presents under your tree. Now you take care. Sarah quietly just hung up the phone. Went off to the side a little bit, and after a couple minutes, Mom said, what did Santa Claus have to say to you? Even-toned and maybe a little sad, she said, Santa said he won't be bringing toys to my sister this year. Yeah. How many have a little sister? You know how annoying that can be sometimes. Now we know that Christmas isn't about Santa and presents and so on. It's all about Jesus Christ and salvation. But there are a lot of people, just like Sarah, who think that all the warnings he gave were for somebody else and all of the blessings are for them. Well, how can we be sure about that? Well, we're going to talk about that this morning. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Father, help us this morning to know the true light of Christmas. However we got here this morning, whatever we've been through, maybe we're still arguing with our little sister or our big sister, as the case may be. Maybe work hasn't been what we were hoping. There might be family difficulties or stresses of many different kinds. We want to somehow embody this season, the meaning of this season. We don't want to be poor witnesses. We want to be joyful. We want to shine for you at this time of the year. So, Lord, help us to get lit up today. Whether that means a little correction is in order or a little encouragement, may we not leave this place until our hearts are adjusted right and our glow is just so. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lights have been used to celebrate Christmas for centuries. You might be familiar with the term Yule log, light the Yule log. Well, you know what that comes from? Back in the day, winters were so long and cold and lonely. We've been through a pretty rough winter ourselves so far. I know the last 36 hours have been downright brutal, but thank the Lord the sun will shine and it'll 42 today. But can you imagine what it was like to get through a winter before there was electricity? No television, no game system. Gets dark at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening, and it stays that way until like 7:30 the next morning. No little dowel on the wall that you could just turn, or button you could push and whoosh, your fireplace turns on. Just cold and dark, and you were probably hungry too, because winter was survived back in the day. Everything was rationed, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and it had to last for months until something fresh could be harvested. So you endured this darkness, these winter temperatures, but there was this one very special day of celebration in the middle of all that. And one of the ways that they celebrated the birth of the Savior, they lit a few extra candles, and you had the Yule log. It was a little bigger, a little extra fuel. Imagine that being your Christmas celebration. A couple extra candles and a little bigger fire to warm yourself. Beyond that, they would have this one day of extravagance. They would put more food on the table than normal, and you would be warm, it would be a little lighter, and you'd have enough to eat on that day as the provisions were brought out and everything was kept for that great celebration. It would bring a little cheer and inspire hope that, thank God, winter doesn't last forever. Light. Light was one of the gifts that you looked forward to. On Christmas, we're going to have light. How many would say we're just a little bit spoiled today? Long lay the world in sin and error pining. Could it be that you and I are somewhat spiritually spoiled? We've sung the Christmas carols for years. We're so used to the traditional push and shove at Walmart. We've strained our brain to find something that our kids don't already have, or that we haven't already gotten for our spouse, something that will be appreciated above everything else that we are so inundated with. To survive is good, but to live is exponentially better. Jesus is the light of the world. The world is so dark. In Jesus, we have love. In the world, fear. In Jesus, forgiveness. In the world, judgment. His life has become our light. So it might be instructive. Maybe Christmas Eve after you go home, don't turn the lights on. Don't turn the thermostat up. Of course, this Christmas Eve, you'll probably get away with that just fine. Just to appreciate how much that we have. But also for a moment, could we go back in time before there was a Savior? Before you knew Jesus? Before you had hope? Often we say to one another, I don't know how people without Jesus do this. Could you imagine if he hadn't come? You'd have to handle all your problems on your own. And what hope would there be? A grave would await us at the end of a lot of misery. You suffer and then you die. But he came. And suddenly there was light. Suddenly death turned into something different. It turned into graduation. When all of this is over, hallelujah. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Oh, it will shine. It will be warm. God will provide all that we need. You see, Jesus Christ is the warmth in our life. It is cold otherwise, but he came and supplied us with a joy, with a peace, with a love we never had before. And that's what we talk about when we come to church. It's not a philosophy. It's not some group of doctrines. If you will study these things and agree to live by them, then you'll have a better life. It plays into it. But wouldn't you agree with me that you can have the building, you can have the doctrines, you can have all of the rules, but give me Jesus. When you have Jesus, you have the light of life. You have a reason for living. You have a constant companion to help you through anything that you might have to face. My wife and I appreciate these modern conveniences that we have. We have these cell phones now. And now you can also Skype with distant relatives. Our daughter, her husband, and three of our grandsons live in North Carolina. They were living in Utah. Now they're in North Carolina. And it's neat to get on and to be able to see these kids. This week, my daughter sent a little clip to my wife, and it had our four-year-old little grandson on it. And he said, "Grandma, I miss you. Grandma, you're beautiful." And then she turned the camera to two-year-old little Hudson, and he went. And you could just see it. My wife lit all up, and her heart melted, and it was beautiful, you know. So we're very thankful for Skype, especially, that you can see and interact with them. But it doesn't replace being with them. As some of you know that experience. I know our friends, the Flickingers, have a daughter in Hong Kong, and they will often Skype. And even at that, Angie will fly home at least once a year just to be with her family. And that's like a 22-hour flight. I mean, I love my family, but a 22-hour flight. God bless Skype, you know. But it's not the same, especially with little grandsons that you can get down on the floor and wrestle with and give them a noogie and, you know, do all that stuff. And I know the last time we visited down in North Carolina, you know, it was wonderful, and it was hard because there's three of them, you know, and the newest one's a baby, and there was a lot to take care of and everything. But still, when it was time to leave, we all had tears in our eyes. Now, this is really strange because we got out in the car and you called them. You know, you can still be in contact, but it's not like being present. So I'm thinking one of the senses we have is presence. We feel when somebody is in the room. And you feel differently the different people who come in the room. Wouldn't you say that's true? Now, like our other senses, it can be off. Sometimes you can be all alone and you feel like there's somebody else there and there isn't. You know, you get weird and all that stuff. But there's really something wonderful. There are times when your nerves are frayed and you hold your spouse close and you can feel your nerves calming down. Their presence makes a difference in your life. There are times when somebody walks in the room and your face just lights up. There are times somebody walks in the room and, you know, there's different reactions, but presence makes a big difference. And that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about the presence of Christ in our lives. He was our God. He did great things. He was wonderful and all of that. But when he came, he lit up our lives. The first proof that you are living in Christ is an inner witness that he is here with you. The first proof. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are his children. Again, especially when we're kind of new in Christ, you won't feel that 24/7. There will be times, of course, that you don't feel him at all. As you mature in Christ, you will learn that feeling doesn't mean anything. He is always with you, and you can claim that by faith. But this is the first real proof. You know that you know that you know you are his and he is yours. It's an inner witness that comes. And that's why Jesus came. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And there will be those unmistakable and most remarkable assurances, encounters, encouragements, corrections, convictions, and times when you know he's speaking right to you. You've had those, right? Just driving along and you catch a scene and all of a sudden a voice speaks to you. And it leaves an impression on you. Emmanuel, God with us. Verse 6 in John chapter 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Into that dark and miserable world that didn't have television or electricity and sin was so abundant and most people were a slave. And life was so cruel and the strong always ruled over the weak. Into that kind of a world, an odd fellow appeared and he demanded everyone's attention. There had been no end of preachers before him, but there was something about this character that caused everybody to go out into the wilderness and seek him out. Things are happening out there in these meetings. Well, you just have to go and experience it for yourself. His preaching was different. He had a presence about him. In fact, the Bible tells us he was filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born. And when people heard him speak, they suddenly cared about things they had never cared about before. They cared about stuff they used to laugh about. They felt guilty when they went to listen to this guy. And at the same time, strangely drawn toward God. They felt like they were going to be destroyed. And yet couldn't help themselves but go and go again and again and listen more and even more intently to what was being said. They started caring about things they never thought they would. Prostitutes. Who had never concerned themselves with guilt before suddenly were under conviction. Tax collectors that got rich cheating people abruptly felt guilty, stained, in need of washing. Soldiers that used to abuse their abilities, abuse their office and exact out of the poor and the weak many perks, unexpectedly developed compassion. You know, catch the scene. I don't know if there are any vile people in your life. Maybe you work with them. Maybe you're related to them. Maybe it's difficult in your neighborhood. Maybe you go to high school. And there are a lot of vile. Could you imagine those same people suddenly stopping their sin, their foul mouth getting cleaned up overnight, their behavior, their story? Can you even imagine that? This was happening out in the wilderness, and as these people came in from the wilderness, I had to ask myself while I was studying it, what would cause a prostitute or a tax collector or even a soldier to go out and listen to some preacher in the wilderness? What would possibly happen to say, that's the thing to do? You've invited people to church, right? I mean, you've invited some people that really need church to church, and they mostly just kind of blow you off, right? Like, yeah, right. I'm going to go to church. So what was the curiosity out there? Oh, hey, he's dressed in camel skin. Whoa. He eats locusts and wild honey. Now, there's something I need to see. No. You see, there's something else going on out in the wilderness. This guy, he preaches. We've heard a lot of preachers. But there's something in his, there's a presence there. And as these people from every walk of land, some of them, I'm sure, went out to scoff or what have you. But they got caught up in the Spirit and what was going on. And they began to cry out, what should we do? Well, John told them, the Messiah is coming and you need to get ready for his kingdom. The crowds felt his presence before he arrived. And it gave them the ability to change. Education isn't doing much to improve our society. It's not doing much to improve the character of our people. We need more than words. We need a presence. And he came to be that presence in our life. Suddenly, abruptly, unexpectedly, people began to run into tax collectors that used to rob them, and now they're giving them rebates. They're running into prostitutes, and they're dressed differently. They're delightful young ladies, and money doesn't turn their head any longer. They're running into soldiers, trying to avoid them. Oh no, here he comes. Get out of the way. Here he is. Oh, he's handing out candy. He's patting the little children. He's loving on people. Now, if you ran into people like that, you'd be asking yourself, what happened to them? Well, you see, they went out into the wilderness to hear that preacher. And ever since they came back, they've just been weird. They have been strange. They are not the people they used to be. And so other people would say, we got to go out there and see what's happening in the wilderness. And you know what? We got to take Uncle Charlie, because Uncle Charlie, he's just, whew, and we got to get him to this preacher. And so they would, sorry, Charlie. And they would bring more people out, and it would continue because of the presence of the Lord. Even before Jesus came, his presence was making a difference in all these people's lives. What was happening? They were becoming Christmas lights. They were just a mean old so-and-so before. But what a backdrop that was when they came back pleasant and loving. There was a little light that was turned on. Jesus' life is the light of people. People saw that light shining in John the Baptist. They saw it shining in the people who had gone out to his meetings. And they knew that there was a power at work. There was something special afoot. And they wanted it too. And when they yielded to that presence, they themselves began to change. If you're here this morning and you're a bit of a jerk, if you're here this morning and you've been having trouble with yourself, maybe you're not treating others the way that you should, and it's for some reason started to bother you when never before it did, there's help for you. It's not that we'll schedule counseling sessions for you and we'll teach you how to count to 10 before you say something and so on. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus. and he will walk with you, and he will help you, and he will change you from the inside out. If you will just invite him in and say, you know what happened to that wicked soldier? I need that too. You know what happened to that greedy tax collector? Oh, I need that to happen in me. Jesus Christ has come to save us all. The reason so many people latched on to Jesus when he came was because they'd seen the light in John the Baptist and those who had gone out to John's meetings. He went out to prepare the way. How did he prepare the way? He put all these lights in a row. You remember the mean soldier. You remember the prostitute used to hang on that corner. You remember that tax collector. Oh, he used to cheat us blind. Now look at him, the most generous man in town. What happened? The kingdom of God is near, and you can be part of it too. It's not just for them. It is for all of us. John had been a Christmas light, a ray of hope in a dark world. He was not the light, but he bore witness to the light. John was a candle, and Jesus was the flame. As people came to the light, repented of their sins, and obeyed the truth, they became candles too. So here's the second great proof. That first great proof was that you feel the witness within yourself. He is here with me. The second great proof is other people begin to see that evidence in you. When was the last time a stranger identified you as a Christian? When was the last time someone you know has complimented you on the growth in your life? I remember when you used to this, when you used to that. You are a changed person. The second great proof that Christ is your Savior is that other people will begin to notice the change in you. Don't you want there to be a change? Don't you want there to be something noticeable in you? If there isn't, then there's something wrong. And it's time to come back to the manger. It's time to come back to the cross and say, Lord, I've been stagnant for way too long. I want to shine bright. I want to be a light. I want to be part of Christmas too. Your life should not ooze darkness, cursing, filth, cheating, bitterness, immorality, greed, complaining. Your life will glow with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, gentleness, faith, and self-control. How's your life measure up to the test? Are you one of the jolly old elves around these days? Or are you the grumpy old Scrooge? No elbows. Nobody elbowing or pointing to anybody else this morning. It's a self-test. Am I progressing in Christ? Or am I digressing? Have I taken for granted the light and the warmth that he brought into my life? Or am I using, and am I stoking the old Yule log? Am I a little bit more merry this time of year? Because he is the light of the world and he has come. We can get lost sometimes in all of the shopping and the ribbons and bows and cooking and the this and the that. Get found again. Get found this morning. Come back and say, oh, Lord, I need the warmth of you. I need the light of Christ once again. I'm sorry for the way I have acted. I'm sorry for the person I have become. I need to go back to the beginning again and be new. You know, it's been said we're all children at Christmas time. It's not true, but we should be. There should be this start over for us, this do-over. You want to give your family a good Christmas present this year? Give him Jesus in the form of you. Give him Jesus in the form of you. Be the person Christ would have you to be. If you go to bed grumpy, wake up merry. If you go to bed complaining, Wake up complimenting and encouraging those who are around you. Become the person Christ has equipped you to become. And oh, what a joyful Christmas it will be for those gathered around your tree, those gathered in your home around your table. Another great truth is that you don't have to be an unbeliever to have an increase in brightness that will witness to others. Amen? Any one of us, as we draw closer to Christ, it will increase our wattage. As we mature in Christ, you get brighter all the time. At least you should. As we mature in Jesus, we point to Him more. We must decrease, He must increase. John the Baptist said that. I have to get out of the way so that He can be greater in my life. So now you know why we celebrate Christmas with lights. He is the light of the world. As you travel about and you see these light displays everywhere, ask yourself, do I shine like that? Do I stick out like that? When I'm waiting in line at the store, when I'm tooling around looking for my parking space, I finally found one. I've been waiting for it for 5 minutes, and that guy just stole it. Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas! How's your wattage this Christmas? How's your life right now? How are you feeling about your family and your loved ones? Has somebody injured you, angered you, disappointed or hurt you? They didn't invite you. They didn't say thank you. They didn't respond to your invitation. They're being ignorant right now. This is a wonderful opportunity to be a light. I know you'd like to be a hammer. Oh, boom! This is where we have choices. Have you ever loved somebody back to life? They've grown cold on you. They hate you. They're doing miserable things toward you. Do you understand that that's an opportunity for Christ to shine through us? Because the Bible says if we only love those people that love us, we have done nothing more than the pagans and the heathen. But if we get somebody with a bad attitude, we get somebody who is difficult, that's an opportunity. Love them back to life. Keep it glowing. Keep it showing until they join the family again. There were others who went out to hear John who weren't so engaged. They went out to mock, and mock they did. They went out because everybody else went out. They chuckled and they talked with one another. And John was quite a preacher. As warmly as he greeted those who came out for the right reasons, that's how harsh he was on those that were hypocrites. He said, "You brood of snakes, who told you to flee the coming wrath? What are you doing here?" Sometimes at Christmas time, we just confer Christianity on everybody. He came to save the world, and everybody's a brother, everybody's a sister, everybody's ready and right. Just like Sarah in the opening illustration. Oh, my poor sister isn't going to get any Christmas presents this year. Sometimes it is me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Your brother or sister might not be in church this morning. It might be very easy to mark them off the list of those who are faithful to Christ. But what did we say a couple weeks ago? Anytime we look at somebody else's sin, their shortfall, we're missing the mark entirely. But whenever we look at our own soul, You say, oh God, I could be a better husband. I could be a better kid. I could be a better parent. I could do better by my employer than I do. Lord, help me to be a better person in Jesus' name. To have and to hold and to love and to give of myself. I must decrease so that he can increase. So why are you here this morning? Are you related to a bell ringer and they wouldn't forgive you if you didn't come and see them ring the bell? Did you come to find him? To worship him? To fool yourself and others? Hey, I was in church on Christmas. We know the real reason is we need to come to Jesus today. And I am talking to the person who is away from God. This would be a wonderful Sunday to bow your knee and dedicate yourself to Jesus Christ. This would be a great Sunday to get saved. But I'm also talking to those of us who have walked with him for a long time. Just like we get so used to electricity and ESPN and all the other wonderful gifts that God has given to us in time, we can get used to Jesus and the moving of the Holy Spirit, and take those things for granted and build up wax in our ears that we hardly hear when he's tapping on our heart any longer. We rarely respond to what he's calling us to do. It's true, you know, that we buy all these gifts for one another, and a lot of times we're only concerned of what they'll think about us and this gift that we've given them. Very little thought goes into Jesus. What would you give him this year? What would you change in your life that would help you shine a little bit brighter to give him more glory? Who would you apologize to? Who would you forgive? Who would you love a little bit more in his name, to his honor and to his glory? We're going to sing a chorus, powerful chorus this morning. These altars are open. And it's for all of us. If you need Jesus as your Savior, come up here and find him. If you want to make a fresh commitment to the Lord, this is a great place to do it. Don't have to come up front, but it could prove helpful to you. Would you stand with me this morning?